Lord, I thank you so much that you've always been there for me personally. I thank you, Lord, that I can say those words, even though there's some days it's hard to squeeze those words out. But I thank you, Lord, that as we draw near to you, as we look to you, as we trust you, as we stand on your written word, you are faithful. Your grace is sufficient. Your strength is perfected in our weakness. And you are a source of peace and joy that passes all understanding when we shouldn't have it, Lord. So I thank you today, Lord. And I pray, God, as we look ahead to a new year, Lord, that you would encourage our hearts to draw closer to you so that we might know more and more the wonder of who you are, so that we might taste and see and know that you are good no matter what. No matter what we go through, no matter what we're facing, that you are able to keep us from stumbling and falling, that you are able to do in us and through us above and beyond what we can even think or imagine, Lord, because that's who you are. So God, I pray you would just encourage us this morning to seek you more, to go after you with our whole hearts this year. So God, speak to us through your word this morning. Help me, Lord, to convey your heart this morning, not my own, but your heart, Lord. It's you we need to hear from. So anoint the word. Let it produce what you're wanting to produce in us today. In your name I pray. Amen. Every year when we have a new year coming, what do we see a lot of times? We get emails about it. Everyone's advertising for it. Diets, right? Exercise, right? New Year's resolution. I'm going to do better this year. But, you know, we do all these things for the natural body. But what about our spiritual lives? Do we consider, like, maybe we're getting fat spiritually, we're getting lazy spiritually, we need to maybe rededicate, get back on track with our spiritual lives? That's kind of what I want to look at today, because I know for myself, I just get off track. I lose sight of things. I get distracted. I get busy with the cares of this life, and I have to constantly allow God to help me when I'm getting away from him. And I have to do this really all year. This isn't a one time a year thing for me. It's constant. A resolution. Lord, I have not sought you like I should. God, I don't sense your presence the way I need your presence. Lord, I don't sense the peace and the joy and the rest I should have with you. Something's wrong. And inevitably, it's usually my fault. It's usually not God's fault when we're lacking in some way. So God in his mercy is always there, and he's always there to help me and to draw me and to lead me back to him. And my job really is just to respond to him. So that's my hope for you today. As he speaks to you, you'll just respond to him. Because he's not like us. He's not waiting for us, you know, with his arms folded and, you know, with his finger pointing at us. No, his arms are open. He's just saying, will you just come to me? I'm what you need. You're looking for peace and joy and happiness. It's in all the wrong things. I have a purpose for your life. I want you to know me. I want to be in a relationship with you. I want to have fellowship with you on a daily basis. And I'm always calling you. Every morning I call you, but many times you pay me no mind, and I'm there, and I'm waiting for you to come to me. So let's look at our spiritual lives this morning. First, I want to ask you, are you content? Are you content this morning with your spiritual life? Are you okay with where you're at with the Lord? You feel like you've arrived and you've gotten everything you need from God. All right. I hope, no, if anyone here does, can we talk afterwards? Can I know your secret? Because I'm not there. There is a cry in my heart every day. God, I need more. I'm not satisfied. I know I've only scratched the surface of who you are. I know my life can be so much more in this world than what I allow you to let it be. Because I know I hinder him. He wants to manifest himself through your life out there to people. And a lot of times, if we're not in that intimate walk and fellowship with him, we miss out on the joy of being used by God. You know it's a joy to lose your life? To give it, lay it down for somebody else? Jesus understood that. There's something about giving yourself for another person that brings joy. I believe it's because it brings you into the heart of who God is. It brings you into contact with God's love when you're giving out his love to other people. And there's no greater joy in this world than knowing his love and operating in his mercy and his mercy operating through your life. There's no greater joy. You will not find it in any other occupation this world has to offer. God has an occupation for all of us. It's to go and make disciples. It's to go and to proclaim and to be witnesses of who Jesus is. But if we're not walking with him the way we need to be, we're going to be ineffective. And when we look at the church and we see where we're at this point in our society, we understand that we need something more, right? I mean, am I the only one? We need something more than what we have tried so far. We got our big churches, we got our great programs, we got our great things that we do, but really society continues to spiral downward and into depravity. Something has to happen in us. And one thing that amazes me, you know, the Bible is still the bestseller in America, but do you also know that most Christians are maybe Bible-ish? You know what I mean by that? They know some Bible, but in some cases, they're Bible-less. Most cases, they're Bible-less. In other words, they rarely ever read their Bibles. They don't know what God has to say to them. They don't spend time with God every day in his word and allow God to speak to them and to convey his heart to them. Well, if we don't do that, we're not going to understand his purpose for our lives. He's not going to be able to prepare us and do in us what's necessary so that we can walk and be in that intimate relationship he wants with us. So I want to look at a psalm. It's Psalm 1. I'm just going to briefly go through this. What we see in this psalm in the beginning is three steps away from God, but then also the steps or the things that happen to someone that is under the blessing of God, those who are walking with God. Psalm 1, I'll start in verse 1. It says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly." So that's one step away from God. We start listening to the wrong kind of counseling. We start patterning our lives after the voices of this world. Ungodly counsel, and it draws us away. So that's one step away. "Nor stands in the paths of sinners." In other words, we're aligning ourselves with the wrong kind of people. And what I mean by that, it's more of being in fellowship with, going along with. You know, the Bible talks about, you know, they wonder why you don't go along with them anymore. It's kind of like Gary and Melanie. You know, your buddies are going to wonder, hey, where's Gary and Melanie? They're not running with us no more. Well, you ain't going to be running with them no more because they're still in darkness and they'll just lead you astray. So you got a new family now that's going to encourage you and lead you to God. And that's the friends, those are the people we want to hang around with. Because if you don't, you will be drawn away from God. I can't tell you how many stories when I was coming off drugs, you'd have a guy, he's just getting off drugs, but he's going to go witness to all his buddies. And he gets around them and he's still weak. He's not ready for that. And he winds up getting high with them. No, you need to separate yourself for a time and let God develop you and get you rooted and grounded and fellowship with like-minded believers that are going to encourage you in your walk with God. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Mockers. Mockers of God. And I've seen it in Christian circles. It's typically people that adhere to psychology and principles, things based on the principles of this world, where they actually mock the things of God. And it's actually contrary to what the Word of God says. And people that read books like that from the Christian bookstore or fill their minds with that are drawn away from the truth of God's Word. So that's three things that draw us away. But listen now what it says. But the blessed man, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. This guy, he's going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. Whatever he does will prosper. Now then it talks about the ungodly, and it's basically the opposite of that. But I want to focus on the blessed man today. Because who wants to be blessed? Who wants to be blessed here? Okay, who wants to be cursed? No hands. All right. Blessed, you know what blessed means? It doesn't mean a new car, although I guess that's a blessing, you know, because we've learned many times, especially from our TV preachers and some guys on the radio, different voices out there, that blessing means material things. And that if you are gaining material wealth, God's blessing is on your life. That's not necessarily true, because most of the world doesn't live that way. And they're more blessed than we are. I have visited countries where I wish I had what they had in the Lord, but yet they have nothing. They live in poverty and squalor a lot of the time, but yet they're blessed. They are richly blessed. And it's evident God is in their life. So really, blessed means spiritually prosperous. It's a spiritual thing. And it's not determined on our circumstances. You could be someone that has just suffered a great loss, but yet blessed. God's blessing on your life. Because in the loss, you still have a peace. There's still somehow a joy. There's still a testimony there that speaks to the people around you. That's the tree that doesn't wither. When there's a drought, because its roots are ground in the Lord. It's not dependent upon circumstances and the environment. It's rooted and grounded in God. That's what blessed means. That's what this is talking about. So what does that look like practically in someone's life? Someone that's blessed. First of all, someone that's blessed is going to have intimacy with God. That's a blessing. That, to me, is one of the greatest blessings there is to have intimacy with God. You think it matters to God if you spend time with Him? The prophet Jeremiah said this in Jeremiah 7:13. He said, "I spoke to you, rising up early and speaking, but you didn't hear. I called to you, but you didn't answer me." And I know there's been so many times in my life God has been trying to get my attention. in so many ways because he wants intimacy with me. He wants a relationship with me. And so many times in my life, I'm distracted, I'm running to other things, and God is there and he's trying to speak to me. He just wants me. He just wants you. He wants a relationship with you. But sometimes we don't answer. God didn't create us to learn a bunch of religious activities. That's not why he created. He created us for fellowship. He created us to know him, to walk with him. That's what Adam and Eve had. They walked with God in the garden. They were in perfect fellowship with God. That's what he wants with us. He seeks fellowship with us. Think about that. God, isn't that astounding that God would want us in that way? But he does. It really is amazing when you think about it. When you think about who God is, how awesome he is. We're talking the creator of the universe, the one who holds everything in existence by the palm of his hand. He keeps things going. He's so beyond us. But yet he comes down. Do you realize we're like a little speck of nothing to him? But yet he considers us. He knows us by name. Just like he knows all the stars by name. Do you know how many stars there are? He knows you by name. He knows you personally. He saw you in your mother's womb. This is the God we serve. He wants intimacy. And here's the problem. A lot of times we're very unaware of how far we drift from God. We don't see it like he does. We think we're doing okay. But really, in reality, a lot of times we're way far away from him when God is wanting us to draw close to him. When God told his people to return to him, I was just reading this morning because I read through the Bible every year. So today is the last day. So Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament I read today. And all throughout there, it's just, you know, God saying one thing and the people saying another thing. In other words, the people seeing things one way and God seeing it another way, which is the right way. But in one verse there, God is telling his people, return to me. Return to me. But the people respond and they say, "In what way shall we return?" In other words, what are you talking about? We're not away from you. In other words, they were still performing all their rituals, going to church and doing all the things. And God was saying, you're not with me. You've gone away from me. And they're like, what are you talking about? And sometimes we're like that. And we need help. And here's a sure way to know you're drifting. Because a blessed person should have joy. The psalmist declared, in your presence is fullness of joy. That's why that movie last night was such a lie. In your presence is fullness of joy. It doesn't depend on my circumstances. So when we're walking closely with God, we experience a complete divine joy. Jesus promised us that in John 15, didn't he? He said, your joy will be full. So the soul that enjoys the Lord's presence doesn't look at reading the Bible and spending time with him like, oh, okay, I got to do this. It's a duty. I'm supposed to do this. No, it's a joy to spend time with him and a fellowship with him. It's not a checklist like, okay, I did my Bible reading today. And that's legalism. That's not relationship. God wants relationship, and he wants you to experience his joy. So if you have a lack of joy in your life, you've probably drifted from God. You're probably not sitting at his feet as much as you should be. You're probably not meditating and praying over his word like you should be. Because you know why? You're probably looking for your joy in the wrong things, and that's just not going to do it for you. Okay? Peace. A blessed person has peace. Jesus said, when we walk closely with him, The concerns of this world will not weigh us down. If we're in His yoke, we will not be weighed down by the cares of this life. He said, right? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. That's what this world produces. We get people that come into the counseling center, and a lot of times depression, especially young kids, when they're coming to age and they're becoming more aware of life, they get to a certain age where now they're starting to think about life. They're not a kid anymore. And what they realize is life stinks. You know what? This world stinks. I mean, what do I really got to look forward to? These kids that are suicidal and depressed, that's what they're thinking. Because I interview them and they write out their testimonies. And it's typically the same thing around 12, 13 years old. Because I'll ask them, well, when did you start feeling this way? And it's usually when I started thinking about my life. Because life without God in this world is heavy, hopeless, and pointless. So there's no peace. There's no rest for the soul. So Jesus calls us, come to me. If you're heavy laden, if you're weighed down by the things of this life, come to me. That's the invitation from the cross. Come to me. I will give you rest. I'll give you what your heart is longing for. It's like an ache inside of every human heart that only God can satisfy. Come to me. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. In other words, get in with me. It's the picture again is an oxen in a yoke. A mature oxen and a younger one coming in and learning from the more mature ox, getting in the yoke and just following along with him. And that's what God says. Come to me, get in the yoke, and follow me. Just do what I tell you to do. Just follow me. But really, I'm doing most of the work. For I'm gentle and I'm lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, people that think being a Christian is hard and a list of do's and don'ts, they don't know God. All right. There's plenty of music in there. You done? All right. We're also told in Philippians 4, don't be anxious for anything. Anyone here ever spend your night tossing and turning, thinking about everything? The Bible says, don't be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That happened to me the other day. I spent like 2 or 3 hours, I don't know, fretting. I had a situation. It's actually you guys, I'll be honest. Lord, what do I do? How do I help these guys? Whatever. Just get used to that here. You know, we're not playing church here, so we're going to talk about you in front of everybody. That's what family does, right? No, but I was really it was the trailer thing, and God, I don't know what to do. And it's like, and finally the Lord's like, why don't you pray? And I put my head down on my desk. I was at my office, and I said, God, help me. God, I need direction. God, I don't know what to do. And I just started praying, and all of a sudden, it's just like a small, still voice says, go to the back. See, this God really does work this way. And I went to the back, I opened the door, and I see this guy that I know, just about to leave, pull out with his truck. And I go, Mark, come here! He comes over, I tell him the whole story. He winds up buying the trailer so we can move it. It's like everything got taken care of. And I only prayed for like 3 minutes. But I spent hours worrying. So what does that tell you? We waste so much time worrying when God says, come to me, just make your request, and I'll, give you a peace that surpasses all understanding. And listen, it doesn't always mean the situation will work out, but he'll still give you a peace. Okay? All right? Another blessing, or someone living under God's blessing, is that they are striving to live a holy life. In other words, they're not walking with sinners. They're not sitting in the seat of the scornful. That's why I loved it when I asked those two. You know, I said, you want to do this right? I said, okay, you're living together, you know, and you know, they didn't know. It's all right. But now we're going to commit ourselves to God. I says, we got to get married. That'd be the right thing. You want to be blessed, right? They said, yeah. So don't marry us. Simple. Right? When I was dating my wife, we were doing a youth group at our church. And we took the kids out on a little, what do you call it? Outing, thank you. And we took them by a pizza place near the apartment complex where we lived together. We weren't married yet. But I was marrying her. What's the big deal? We really thought there was nothing wrong with it. So well, the kids are like, yeah, we're like, yeah, we live up there. They're like, oh, you guys live up there? It's like, yeah. So they went and told the pastor. And he pulled us in the office. He's like, you guys can't be living together. That's unscriptural. You know, you're not married. And we're like, really? He goes, you need to move out. And I said, oh, okay. And I moved out that day. Because now I knew it was sin. See? So if you want to be blessed, you got to do things God's way. You can't expect God's blessing on your life if you're going to be disobedient to what His Word says. That's what it means to live a holy life. It just means, you know, submitting yourself to God, being separated for Him, for His use and for His purpose, and keeping His commandments. You can't be in sin and expect to have fellowship with God. It's impossible. What I mean by that is, you know, 1 John says this. It says, he who abides in Him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen Him nor known Him. What's that talking about? It's not talking about, you know, I blew it, you know, I sin a lot. Sometimes I'm not nice to my wife, or I do things wrong or whatever, and I repent. But I'm not living in a lifestyle of sin that I know is wrong. It's talking about there habitually sinning, knowing what you're doing is wrong, and really not caring. That's what that's talking about. And it says, if you do that knowing what the Word of God says, but you just keep doing it anyway, you cannot have fellowship with God. So you're cutting yourself off from what you need. God's blessing, His joy, His peace in your life. So you guys, you do it right. Doesn't mean, now everything's not going to work out exactly how you want it, but you will be blessed spiritually. Your marriage will be blessed spiritually. Then someone who's living in God's blessing is obviously filled with His Spirit. See, when you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within you. Romans 8 tells us this. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again in fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. So I'll just end with this, people. Are you blessed today? Do you want to be blessed in the coming year? Does this describe what I just shared? Does that describe your walk with God right now? Do you want it to describe your walk with God? How do you sense God wants you to draw closer to Him in the coming year? What are some things you can do to help you draw closer to God? That's my challenge I want to leave with you this morning. And I'll give you some helps, okay? First of all, don't be satisfied with where you're at, okay? Because if you're satisfied, you won't see the need to really change anything because you're satisfied. So if you're not satisfied, if you know, I have just scratched the surface. I am not where I need to be. I don't even understand really where I'm supposed to be because I don't even read my Bible the way I should. So the first thing you need to do, and we have handouts over there that will help you with this, how to develop a devotional life, start or come up with a plan to start spending quality time with God every day, starting tomorrow. You know what I love about God? As much as I mess up, I can always resolute to do better, get up, wipe my knees off, and go on and do what I know I'm supposed to do. And God doesn't get tired of me. That's my testimony. My testimony is not I've had this perfect walk for 26 years. No, it's been up and down, falling down, scraping my knees, getting up, and just constantly just saying, okay, Lord, all right, I'm sorry. Okay, I know what I got to do, and doing business with God. So we need to do business with God if we want His blessing on our lives. So I want to encourage you guys for this new year. I want to challenge you to go after God more than you ever have in the past. Because He wants you to know Him in a much deeper, more intimate way, maybe than you have allowed yourself to know Him. Don't do that. We're coming into some dark times. It's already dark. But we're going to need God in a greater way. I'm believing God to do miraculous things. We had someone visit here a couple of weeks ago or last week. And she told me about someone that was praying for this area 20 years ago. And she said, and I'm not all into this stuff with visions and all that, so don't take me too serious about this. But it sounded sincere to me. It sounded like it wasn't wacky. It sounded like someone that was a true intercessor and was really praying for this area. But she said she saw the glory of God take over this part of town. That it's become so run down, and it's dark around here, but I'm believing God for that. And I believe that somehow in the spiritual realm, light is pressing in to the darkness out here, and there's going to be more and more people that are going to be reached. But we need God's blessing on us and on what we're doing. So it means all of us individually seeing our own individual need to draw closer to God. If you will, God will bless you in all of these ways. And if you need to repent, repent. It's simple. Repent. Change your mind and do what you know you're supposed to do. Repent. And then lastly, just have faith in God to do what only He can do. Because it's not going to depend on you really in the end. Okay? All right. Lord, I thank You so much that You're always calling us higher. You're never satisfied because You know how much more there is. And I thank You, Lord, You don't just leave us alone to drift off away from You, Lord, and away from the joy of being in the center of Your will and in true fellowship with You. You're always calling us. And Lord, I pray for everyone here. I pray for all those that aren't here today. Lord, if they listen to this online, God, that You'll speak to them. You'll draw us all closer to You in this new year, Lord. You'll help us to make not just dieting and exercise resolutions, but, Lord, a spiritual resolution to seek You with all of our hearts, with all of our minds, with all of our strength. Lord, so that Your blessing can be upon our lives and upon this body, Lord, so that we can reach out into the darkness, to the lost souls, to those that are struggling, that are hopeless, that are suicidal, that need to know You're real, God. We need your blessing, God. So, God, make us hungry for that, I pray. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.